Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison, who is in a tirade right now over fantasy football. So, Evan, before I ask you how your day is, share your story with the listeners about fantasy football, because you know what? I bet you a lot of people can relate to your dilemma right now.
Yeah, well, they're going to stand on a tirade, but, you know, I just need Crowder to get 4 more points for Washington. 4 more points. And right now it's not looking like he's going to come anywhere close, as there's only a quarter to go and he only has 1.9. So, you know, if I would have started Roethlisberger instead of Brady, or Jared Cook instead of Witten, or Shepard or Lockett, you know, I'm not in this problem at all. But unfortunately, I don't, and now it's looking like I will not be playing in the championship game, which, you know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all, as they always say. So that definitely fits me most of the time. So, but with that, the Packers had good luck yesterday. They were able to withstand a late surge from the Chicago Bears to even the series, all-time series against the Bears. And with the Detroit Lions loss yesterday, Troy, the Packers control their own playoff destiny. All they got to do, beat Minnesota, beat Detroit, and they win the NFC North. So thank you to the Giants. And hopefully Detroit can lose to Dallas next week, next Monday, just to really hurt the Lions a little bit going forward. So, you know, with that said, though, I'm going to throw it back over to you. How are things in the meat locker that you do your portion of the show in?
Yeah, you know, I love this space in this house. I really do. I love it. It's a little space right off of the house. It was an addition to this house, attached to the garage. Half of the room is windows. But the problem is, when they built the attachment, there's no main heat. So in the summer, it is warm. In the winter, it's freezing. The space heater reads 46 degrees, but it's okay. I love the space. I really do. It's a nice space. 46 degrees is probably the warmest I've had it in here in the last 2 weeks doing the show. So that's a good thing. But it was cold on Sunday, Evan, and the Packers, like you said, withstood that late surge. I mean, honestly, after that amazing third quarter, I didn't expect the game to get as close as it did. I know you and I last week, we both thought it would be a close game. It wasn't going into halftime. And then coming out in the third quarter, the Packers, you know, it's amazing, Evan. I know everybody says, well, the Packers now found a running game with Ty Montgomery. I'm actually going to say, okay, he's a good player. But I also think that Mike McCarthy in the last couple of weeks, Evan, has done some good things as far as figuring out how to attack weaknesses of the other team. I hadn't seen it in the past couple of years, to be honest. And you know that I questioned Mike McCarthy. I said that he had earned his stripes against Seattle. He, I thought, put together another good game plan. And I know people keep saying, Montgomery, you found a running game. Well, I still think Ty Montgomery's a receiver. Now, he's doing great in the backfield. I don't think you switch him back to running back. They used him great against Chicago. I don't know. Maybe you make him a running back. I'm not a fan of making him a running back. I think he could be a very good wide receiver. I mean, he did well against Chicago, but I also have to give credit to the play calling and to the offensive line. I like what they did, Evan. The Packers offensively are doing some good things, and especially in that weather, to be able to run the ball like they did, it was so important. But I'm going to turn it back over to you, get your quick thoughts on this game. Like you said, the Packers now control their own destiny. It's in their hands.
Yeah, well, I personally like Ty Montgomery as a running back right now. I think he has a really good burst out of the backfield. Now, I think he does run a little upright at times, But once he gets past that front line, he showed that he's tough to take down in the open field. He, I think, averaged like 10 yards after contact. So he was breaking tackles left and right. He ended the game with 162 and 2 touchdowns on 16 carries. So I like Montgomery in the backfield. And, Troy, I hate to break it to you, Ty Montgomery is now a running back. I don't think they're going to move him back to wide receiver. I think they're going to keep him at running back. But here's what I would like to see the Packers do moving forward is, now this year, yes, you got to use him as running back one. You have to. You don't really, you got Michael, who's doing pretty good in some limited opportunities, but I don't know if the trust is there quite yet for Michael. But you got to use Montgomery as your number one back the rest of the season. But here's what I hope they do moving forward. Now, either bring Lacy back on a one-year deal, kind of like a one-year prove-it deal, have Michael there, and have Ty Montgomery kind of play that Darren Sproles type role. Now, he's a bigger version of Darren Sproles, but have him play that Darren Sproles role where he can catch out of the backfield, can run the ball. You know, you're not giving him 16 to 25 carries a game. You're giving him about 10 to 15 touches a game. You know, get him opportunities to get touches. And I liked him in that potential Darren Sproles role, but he really impressed me on Sunday, Montgomery. He really impressed me. And his touchdown runs, his runs were a thing of beauty. And that Christian Michael's touchdown run was a thing of beauty, too. And I think you have these two as the 1-2 punch, hopefully moving forward. Hopefully Michael gets more than 4 carries against Minnesota, and hopefully Montgomery gets closer to 10 carries against Minnesota. I think that would be a good balance between the two. Get them both about 10 carries. I think they got a pretty good game plan to beat Minnesota. But the running game definitely showed up, and Rodgers played really well. You know, even with the bad calf, which now he says it's, you know, better than it's been. He thinks he'll be 100% for Saturday, playing with no limitations, which would be huge. But you can tell he was a little hindered, especially in the first half, where he got chased down from behind by former Packer D lineman C.J. Wilson, for example. You know, C.J. Wilson is not chasing down Aaron Rodgers from behind if he's fully healthy. There was one play he took off running that he got tackled about a yard short of the first down. If he's healthy, he gets that first down. And there's one that he got tackled, I think, just short of the end zone. And again, if he's healthy, he scored that touchdown easily. But he was a little slow. But I think he got, you know, more comfortable later in the game, and he was definitely very comfortable on that 60-yard strike to Jordy Nelson, which set up the game-winning field goal, which Crosby actually made twice, thanks to Fox's trying to ice the kicker. But that obviously backfired. But, you know, Troy, I'm watching the game in a bar with a coworker, and, you know, the final offensive play, the clock's running. You know, we're all at the bar yelling, snap the ball, snap the ball, snap the ball. You know, they're wasting a lot of time. It's like, what are you guys doing? And come to find out, Rodgers is doing it on purpose. You know, they had the offensive formation. They had the offensive play, and the Rodgers knew he was going to get a big gain on. So he lets this clock run down so they could basically run down and spike the ball with very little time left so the Bears don't get another opportunity. That just shows you the intelligence there, Troy, of Aaron Rodgers. And other than the fourth quarter, the offense played pretty well most of the game. They're able to move the ball, keep them off balance. I think the one thing that worried me on offense is that they could not get Randall Cobb involved. And at times, especially in poor situations, the Packers went to some questionable plays, like the fourth down play, the fourth and two. I agree with going for it on fourth and two. I don't like the play call, though, Troy. They had Davante Adams and they had Jared Cook running deep routes. And they, you know, those are the guys that should have been running shorter routes. They shouldn't have been running the deep corner routes in the end zone or the post corner routes or whatever they were running. They should not have been doing that. And unfortunately, the drops came back for Davante Adams as he dropped 2 touchdowns. if Davante Adams catches both of those touchdowns that hit him right in the hands in the end zone, if he catches those, we're not talking about the Bears rallying from behind to tie it to almost winning the game. If Latroy Guyon runs into Micah Hyde, which he almost did because Guyon was late coming onto the field, if Guyon runs into Micah Hyde, we're probably talking about a Packer loss. But, you know, fortunately for the Packers, they did get the win. So, you know, sticking with for offense right now before we jump to the defense and kind of talk some not so good, what were your thoughts offensively for Green Bay?
Well, like you said, you know, they – and I want to put it this way. I don't think they found a running game, Evan. I think what they did is this offensive line is allowing Ty Montgomery to have success. Now, again, I'm not taking anything away from Ty Montgomery. I think he's doing a hell of a job. And, you know, like you said, that's who they're going to have to ride into the postseason if they make the postseason. They got two tough games. You know, you can't just say, okay, well, the Lions lost. They control their own destiny, but these are not two gimme games. They got two rival games, but they're going to have a running game against both of these opponents, the Vikings and the Lions, to be able to control the clock. I thought offensively, you know, given the weather conditions, I thought they did enough. That last play, Evan, the play to Jordy Nelson, what a thing of beauty, the way that Aaron Rodgers just put it in his hands. And when you watch the slow replay, it's almost like I know Nelson's going to catch it, but it's like, oh, I hope he doesn't drop it. But I thought they kind of went into a – after that third quarter and things were going so well, the fourth quarter they couldn't move the chains. And to me, that's a little bit of a concern on both sides of the ball. One, moving the chains to be able to eat clock, run the ball out, not give the Bears more opportunity. And then defensively, they couldn't get a stop in the fourth quarter. So offensively, I think through the first three quarters, I thought they were doing some good things. Fourth quarter, do you tip your hat to the Bears a little bit? Now, you can do that, yeah. You look at not being able to gain yards, getting a little bit predictable there in the fourth quarter, I think is what the Packers did. As I'm watching the game, I'm sitting there almost calling the exact play. So if I'm calling the play from my couch, I'm pretty sure the defensive coordinator in Chicago can kind of figure out what's going on too. So that was my only concern offensively is they had this lead. They had an awesome third quarter. And they need to find a way in that fourth quarter to get a few first downs, change field position, run some time off the clock. That was my only concern with the offense, Evan, is that they couldn't put the nail in the coffin in the fourth quarter. So other than that, you know, it's good to see in a frigid temperature day that they went on and took care of business, especially in that third quarter. Everything was rocking and rolling. But like you said, my other concern, Davante Adams, not going to make excuses with the cold weather because people are catching balls. He's got to catch those. I mean, he was wide open, and you drop the ball. And like you said, you get touchdowns there and add to the lead. Couple that with a third quarter, you're talking about, you know, a three-touchdown win maybe. So, couple of concerns there because the weather's not going to be any better next week, but the last week, of course, is in a dome. But Davante Adams has had a history of drops. Hopefully it's a blip on the radar because he's had some very good games. I will give him somewhat of a pass to say it's an anomaly and it's a blip on the radar, but he had best get his head on straight next week because he can't afford to drop any balls in these next two games. So, Evan, defensively, I want to throw it back to you here. Third quarter, again, very well. Pressured Barkley into a few miscues. But in the fourth quarter, failing to get stops, how concerning was that to you in the fourth quarter with a comfortable lead, and all of a sudden you see the Bears making some plays, and, you know, when they scored the first touchdown, like, okay, playing a little soft, you know, kind of that somewhat prevent-type defense, don't let anybody get behind you, blah, blah, blah. But then the Packers can't move the ball. They give the ball back to the Bears, and the Bears go right down the field again. I was a little bit concerned. What about you?
Yeah, before I jump to the defense, I just want to comment really quick with Adam. To give him credit, though, he did own it. He had come out on Twitter and basically owned his bad performance. He wasn't making excuses. He said he played terrible, which I think it's a good step to see. And, you know, the worker that Adams is, I think he's going to bounce back next week and have a big game against Minnesota. I've always been a big fan of Davante Adams. Even during his struggles last year, I was still standing by him, and I still do. You know, he just needs to make sure he catches that. So defensively, I got some concerns, but more so scheme-wise. And I don't know if Randall was doing what the scheme wanted him to do or if he was doing his own thing. I don't know. From Mike McCarthy's press conference, it sounded like he wasn't exactly doing what the scheme wanted him to do, which is a little concerning. But if he's playing the scheme, I kind of wonder why you're constantly playing your corners about 8 to 10 yards off the ball and not adjusting. If it was Adams kind of freelancing, I mean, I'm sorry, if it was Randall kind of freelancing, then he got what he deserved and he got benched for Rollins and Guntner playing the outside and Hyde playing the slot. Randall got what he deserved if he's freelancing. You know, Randall's a hell of a football player that just had a bad game, and he's had a few bad games this year. But I'm not ready to give up on Randall. But I think a lot of the issue with the defense in the fourth quarter was they weren't being aggressive. The rushers were not getting home, which was leaving the secondary in trouble. And that's going to be the Achilles heel for the Packers moving forward, is that secondary. You know, the secondary, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to make key stops. And it's going to be up to the defensive line and the linebackers, the pass rushers, to get the quarterback uncomfortable so he gets the quarterback uncomfortable so he has to, throw the ball before he's ready to. And when he throws the ball before he's ready to, that's what you saw in Matt Barkley's 3 interceptions. He threw the ball in the receipt, you know, and he wasn't quite ready to throw the ball, but he felt a little bit of pressure. And the last interception, he couldn't step up in the pocket at all due to some push-up in it. But I think the defense would be okay against the Vikings. I really think they will. And I think they'll be okay against Detroit. But it was concerning in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get key stops when they needed to, except that third down and goal where they forced the Bears to have to kick a 22-yard field goal. And I say again, the play was almost a disaster. You have the Troy guy on running out of the field late. The Packers are out of timeout, so they can't call a timeout to get him on the field. They have 10 guys on the field, technically 9 with Clay Matthews' shoulder, and the Troy guy on running out of the field late almost runs into Micah Hyde, and Micah Hyde's able to squeeze right around him and break up the pass, which set up that Packer 60-yard strike to put him in the game-winning field goal range. But thankfully, disaster avoided. Packers get the win, and at the end of the day, that's what matters. It doesn't matter how you get the win. The matter is you win, and they live to fight another day. And with it looking like Washington going to lose, the Packers not only have a shot at the division, but they also have a shot at clinching at least the wild card as well if the dominoes don't quite fall for them that way. So I'm very proud of this Packer team right now.
So, Evan, I've got to throw this out there. Packers on this winning streak now, and, you know, they said on the broadcast, and I've heard analysts say, the Packers are not a team that people want to see in the playoffs. And I somewhat disagree. I still think defensively, I've got my concerns. Like you said, it all depends on the pass rush. And when you start looking at some of the teams in the playoffs that have better offensive lines, I am not going to put my money in the bank in the secondary. But my question to you is, let's rewind the clock. And I don't want to be negative Nelly, but all of a sudden they're on this winning streak. And a few weeks ago it was McCarthy's head, it was Dom Capers' head, it was Ted Thompson's head. And all of a sudden a few wins, and now Packer fans have settled down. I'm not wavering that change needs to be made. I've said this through the losing streak. I said it when they won a few games. No matter what happens here, Evan, playoffs or no playoffs, there needs to be some changes made. That four-game losing streak in the middle of the season, unacceptable. And I think it comes down to making changes in the organization. And I'm still there, even if they win the last two games, even if they'd make a run, a deep run into the playoffs, I still think that change needs to be made. There's a comment that you made that always sticks with me, and you've said it a few times on the show. Sometimes things get very vanilla in Green Bay. And I think change is necessary. Sometimes change is good. But what are your thoughts? They went on a winning streak. They may be a tough team to play. Offensively, during that losing streak, they were doing okay at times. But when you look at the overall picture and the scheme of the longevity and success of the Green Bay Packers, Evan, no matter what happens, do you think that there needs to be some organizational change as far as personnel goes on the staff?
Well, for the defense, it's really hard to say where exactly the issue lies. Is it scheme, is it personnel, is it a little bit of both? I think it's a little bit of both. I shouldn't say the biggest issue with Capers is he doesn't really do well when it comes to making adjustments. He doesn't do well when he's making those adjustments. He doesn't. He stays. He sticks to what he wants to do, which is leaving the middle of the field wide open constantly. So with that, I think some fresh blood wouldn't be very bad. However, he's also been handcuffed at times this year due to the personnel he's had to have on the field. He's got a one-armed Clay Matthews. At one point this year, he was playing his fourth and fifth string cornerbacks as his number one and two corners. And he's doing at times the best that he can on personnel. I think I would have to point the finger more on personnel. I think Capers has shown that he can lead a serviceable defense when having the proper personnel. Look at last year. It wasn't the reason why the Packers didn't win the division last year. It was the offense is why they didn't win the division last year. And for me, it's hard to say. I think if you have everybody healthy, I think the defense is head and shoulders, I think, more better than they are right now. I think they're more similar to what they were last year. And the thing that's always been Capers' MO on defense is opportunistic. They force turnovers. And that's something that they were lacking for a good stretch of this year, especially during the losing streak. But over the past few weeks, they lead the league in forcing turnovers. They've been forcing a lot of turnovers lately. And that's a really good thing. I want to make before I throw it back to you. Listener tweeting at me, Felipe was wondering, why Janice doesn't get an opportunity when Adams does make the same mistakes. It comes down to, I think, the route running. Janice hasn't mastered the ability to run a route, and he's got a point saying he's been productive when given the opportunity, but not as a traditional wide receiver. He's done well on the gadget play, like that end around against Seattle. He does good at returning kicks, but he doesn't run the routes. He doesn't know how to run routes. And I don't know if it's that he doesn't know how to run routes per se, but he also doesn't have a lot of lateral quickness. He's great straight line speed, but if he has to make cuts here or there, he doesn't have the ability to make a play. Now, I look at Devontae Adams. I see a receiver that has potential to be a number one wide receiver. when I look at Jeff Janis, I see a guy that is going to be nothing more than a special team superstar that makes the occasional play here or there on the offense. That's where I see Janis. He's never going to be a 1, 2, 3, or even number 4 wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's ever going to be that. He's going to be your special team ace that occasionally comes up with the big putt. You know, people wanted to point out the game that he had against Arizona at his coming out party. Well, most of his yards in that game were two big Hail Marys where Rodgers just threw it up. It was 50-50 ball, and he happened to make the putt. But he doesn't consistently make the plays. He doesn't run the precise routes that the Packers want receivers to run. And the opportunity that he had against, I forget which game it was. It might have been Atlanta or Indianapolis. No, I think it was Indianapolis. He's wide open. Rodgers has him wide open, and the ball hits his face mask, bounces off the face. That, to me, is Janis in a nutshell. So, do you have anything else to add about the defense or anything else to add about what I had to say about Janis?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, I always got something to add. As you noticed, I didn't name names when I said about staff changes. I've been a Caper supporter. You had mentioned personnel. And so you and I have talked about this. That roster, when you look at it, you have to build a roster, and you can never count on injuries. You hope that your team can stay healthy. But you need to add depth in areas. You know, you talk about fourth and fifth cornerbacks. You talk about running back. Who would have thought Eddie Lacy and James Starks would have both been down for an extended period of time? So
I could have told you that could happen.
So you look at, like you said, the personnel part of it. So I just want to throw that question out tonight, is that, you know, winning will usually subside and push things under the rug. I'm going to be the guy that's not going to let those things go under the rug just with a winning streak going on, because if those things came up at one time and, you know, you get a little bit healthy and the team plays better, and people then have that tendency to push things under the rug, and I just won't let it happen. The thing with Janis, Evan, and I think you brought up a good point, he's been productive when given the opportunity because he's only got a handful of plays that he's going to be productive at, and that's when he's in the game. It's the plays that they think he can be productive at. Janis is not the guy that's going to go in and be your guy that plays 50 snaps. Because of what you said, he's going to play a handful of snaps with things that he's comfortable doing that the Packers may be able to get him the ball. And those are basically plays tailored to Jeff Janis. And it's just a handful. It may be 3 or 4 different type plays for him to be productive. That's what fans are seeing. They're not seeing a person that can go in, like you said, and play on every down and be a third option or be a second option. Janis is productive with plays that are basically suited for him to be the option, and it's 3 or 4 different plays. And that's all that you're going to see in his repertoire. He's a guy that, very honestly, may not make the roster next year, Evan, depending on what the Packers do. But, you know, as we move forward, I'm looking at the time, and where does it go? 30 minutes already in the books, buddy. What else you got?
I got nothing else to add. As we were talking about Janis and Adams a little bit, one of Tom Montgomery's huge runs, I think it was a 60-yard or something like that, there's a play that Devontae Adams, who's on the opposite side of the field that Montgomery's running, cuts all the way across the field and makes a key block that allows Montgomery to make another 5 or 6 yards. So that's one of the other reasons why you see Adams getting so much playing time, even when he does make mistakes, because he does things like, you know, he does things like that. You know, he's a good down the field blocker, and he makes plays like what I just mentioned. So I got nothing else to add. Gonna, you know, throw it back to you to wrap it up and let the listeners go.
Yeah, thanks for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Tomorrow is going to be a great night, Evan. We got another firing in the NFL before the end of the season. Mr. Bradley in Jacksonville was let go. We have a lot of NFL playoff talk, a lot of games that were important games A lot of teams that are trying to make statements right now. But tomorrow night, Evan and I are going to recap the NFL, the news in the NFL, the playoff teams, teams that are getting hot here with a couple games to go, and those teams that are hoping and praying that they can get some breaks to get into the playoffs. Again, thanks for listening in. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Enjoy your night, everyone.